Hello, everyone. It's your girl, Britta, and welcome to my new podcast, You Britta Vote. On this podcast, I kiki with activists, organizers, and elected officials about all things political, from voting to climate change to LGBTQIA plus equality. Baby, my guest and I will spill the tea on what is happening in the current political landscape and how you can make your voices heard on the issues. As a note, Drag Out the Vote, for which I am the national co-chair, is a partisan nonprofit. So my work there is strictly nonpartisan. But in this podcast, baby, I am speaking from my own personal opinions. So get ready for some unfiltered tea. Let's get into it. Hit it.
Dress how I want. I don't follow gender roles.
Today we are talking to Marti Gold Cummings. Marti is a New York City-based drag artist, television personality, and political activist. They recently ran for city council, placing in second on election night. They serve on the board of directors for the Ali Forney Center for Homeless LGBTQ Youth, Equality New York, Drag Queen Story Hour, as well as on Community Board 9 representing Upper Manhattan, the NYC Nightlife Advisory Board, and the Victory Fund's Victory Campaign Board. Marti also serves with me as the national co-chair for Drag Out the Vote. They are a very busy person, and I'm so happy to have them here. Please welcome Marti Gold Cummings.
You better vote, you better vote, you better vote now, you better vote.
Yes, boom, 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 boom. Ladies and gentlemen, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, I am here with one of my good Judies, one of my best friends. I love you so much. It is the one and only Marti Gold Cummings.
Oh,
hi, Marti.
Oh,
Marti, I'm so, so grateful that you are able to join me on this podcast. I know how busy you are, especially with your election going on. And, you know, I decided to make this podcast, You Britta Vote. It's all about politics. And you are the one, you are the queen. You are the Sylvia Rivera to my Marsha P. Johnson. You're the one that actually got me started in politics. I really honestly followed your lead. And it was when Trump was elected and we were filming Shade and you were so passionate. And I remember going to my first march in drag with you, and you're the person that kind of instilled standing up for our community and standing up for our rights. And I really didn't pay attention until I met you, to be honest. And so I'm just so honored and so grateful to have you here with me to talk about these important issues that are going on within our country and our community. And you're doing the damn work, honey.
Well, I love you, girl. First of all, I miss filming Shade Queens. That was so much fun. Except for never. I love all the queens that are on the show. Shade. Shade, Queens of NYC. But yeah, I remember when we went to those marches. It was you and me and Jasmine, Rice LaBeija and Holly Boxsprings, and you know, Chelsea came out with us. Some of them, you know, Jada. You know, that was such a wake up call for so many people, because you know, I wasn't super politically involved before Trump started running for office either. You know, but I think there's no.
Yeah.
That, you know, that everybody has that kind of moment of awakening, I guess. And, you know, I always knew that, like, the art of drag in any form is inherently political, because it's going against, like, the status quo and the system, like, in place. And, like, there's been, you know, drag got me involved at the Ali Forney Center and, you know, Hedrick Martin Institute and these amazing organizations. But it was a kind of light bulb moment. Actually, like, the moment that I really became political was at Vodka Soda Bottoms Up, that bar, which is now closed. At the time, I was doing a show there, and I was talking about what was going on with Trump. He was still running. He hadn't won yet. And the owner pulled me aside and was like, you're going to alienate straight clientele, and you're making me as a voter uncomfortable. And I said, well, are you voting for Trump? And he was like, well, you know, and the answer is yes. So I literally on the street, you know, gave him the microphone back. I had it in my hand and I said, we're done here. And as I was walking away, it was like that kind of moment of like realization of like, bitch, you have a microphone literally in your hand every day.
Yeah.
What are you using it for? And it was that kind of like switch to, okay, you have an opportunity to do something with your drag, you know, to not only educate others, but educate myself on how our political process works.
Absolutely. I've never heard that story. I know that that happens, but I didn't know that that was like such a catalyst to you taking off and becoming this giant light. And now hopefully a political figure within our community. You're running for city council this year, and running for office is the most that you can do to get involved. What are some of the things that people can do besides running for office, and what can make their voices heard?
Well, running for office is exciting and exhilarating and thrilling and terrifying and scary.
Yeah. Yeah, how has it been? Like, I mean, it's a bit, you're a gig worker, like, before that, and you decided to take this stance.
Yeah, we're 39 days until the election, but I will say, you know, there's many ways to get involved. You know, running for office is one of them. So, like, if you feel that the representation that is currently in is not doing the job, grab a clipboard and run for office. Like, do it. Run for office. But there's other ways to get involved. You can volunteer with a campaign. You can become a staffer on a campaign. You can start a political organization in your community. You can volunteer at the local food pantry or start a mutual aid organization to help your food insecure and unhoused neighbors. You can do a coat drive. You know, what? There's so many different ways to get involved. You can just have a conversation with your conservative uncle who doesn't understand the importance of why we need vaccines. Just having those uncomfortable conversations with loved ones who may see the world in a different way, that is an act of political action, you know, by having these conversations, as hard and scary as it is. There's no right or wrong way. Yeah, if you're in school, start a political organization in your school.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And thank you for talking about all those different ways that we can get involved. I mean, why did you run for office? Why are you running for office? What spurred this? I totally passed that part. I know that you were, you started Hell's Kitchen Democrats, and it was, did it exist before? You just started it up? I mean, that's kind of how you got into this, into running for office, correct?
Yeah, there's a political organization that like wasn't doing the work. They were like saying they're Democrats, they're doing more Republican-y kind of things. They were the oldest political institution, this organization, the McManus Club, the oldest political institution in the entire state of New York. And everybody said, oh, they can't, they are the kingmakers. They are the ones in charge. You can't overthrow them. It's not possible. It's not possible. Nobody can do it. Like the Congress member was telling me this, you know, very, and I was like, well, why? They're not serving the community. They're not doing their job. So little old me, just organized and overthrew them. And it was like, people were like gooped, gagged. And then it was like, let's go, girls. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, nobody should be a political organization that's in power for 125 years. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, this family, right. You know? Yeah, it's been quite the ride. But I decided to run for office because, you know, the LGBTQ caucus and city council is about to be term limited. The LGBTQ caucus has also only been representative of the G and the L in our acronym, which is great, but we've never had trans, non-binary, genderqueer, or gender non-conforming representation in city council. And as a non-binary person, they, them, theirs, thus is henny.
Work.
I thought our voices needed to be heard. I'm also a gig worker like you, so I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck, to not have access to paid sick leave or paid time off or hazard pay or healthcare. You know, we as drag artists, we don't show up to work, we don't get paid. But we also are one of the main economic driving forces of our industry. So why are we not being provided true livable wages, paid sick leave and time off, so we're able to take care of ourselves or our loved ones when they're sick, you know? And I think this pandemic showed a lot of people what their worth actually is. You know, there's a whole conversation, it's like a meme now on the internet, like, oh, people aren't going back to work. No, people aren't going back to work because you're not paying them what they're worth, you know? So we need a minimum wage in New York City that's at a starting point, $20 an hour. We need a guaranteed income for people who aren't able, who need help with their income. We need a reparations fund in our city to help our Black and Brown community now that marijuana is going to be decriminalized and legalized in New York. So they're given the access that they need to home ownership and small business ownership and healthcare. You know, we need to make sure that we're providing for our immigrant community, our AAPI community, our trans and gender nonconforming community, our indigenous community, people who are always left out of the conversation in these things, you know? Gig workers are not just drag artists like you or I. They're delivery workers, barista workers, nail salon technicians, taxi drivers, home care aides, you know? The gig worker encompasses a lot of different industries. So we need a legislator who's going to do the work to make sure that they're provided the resources and the benefits that they need. And to all the viewers who are nodding off because this might sound boring, it's not. It is real life.
Yes, tell them, honey. Now, okay, so not a lot of people know what a city council member is. So, like, what does a city council member do within their districts, correct? And I just happen to be in your district. I'm definitely voting for you. Not just because you're my dear friend, but also because I'm truly passionate about all the things that you believe in and all the things that you plan on doing with your spot in the city council. But what does it mean to be a part of the city council?
So every city and town and municipality is different on what their council does. You know, it depends on whatever that city's charter is, which a city charter, for those who aren't aware, is basically the constitution of that city or municipality. So in New York, the city of New York is made up of 5 boroughs, and the city government is structured as there's a mayor, a comptroller, and a public advocate, which are the 3 citywide elected officials. So the mayor is the mayor, the comptroller controls the money, and the public advocate is somebody who advocates for the people. Those are all borough-wide races. And then there are, each borough has a borough president, which is basically like a mini mayor of that borough, Manhattan, Bronx, Staten Island, Queens, and Brooklyn. And then there's 51 city council members that make up the governing body of New York City and the 5 boroughs. So the council member in New York's job, and like I said, this may be different for the listeners, this may be different for where you live, but the role of the city council member in New York City, which has an operating budget of $92 billion and has around 9 million people living in it, we have an operating budget and population larger than most states in the United States. So it's a very powerful governing body. Our operating budget is larger than some countries. So it's really unique. 51 member city council is pretty unique because it is such a large governing body. But their role is to work on the budget with the mayor, which determines funding for police, education, sanitation, housing, education, Department of Transportation, you know, all the city agencies, how that money is done. Then each city council member is also allotted discretionary funding and participatory budgeting. So discretionary funding is each council member is given a certain amount of dollars, depending on the district, how much is allotted. And that money can go into community-based organizations, schools in the area, community gardens, street projects that need to be done. And the council member works with the community to figure out what needs to be funded and what doesn't. Then there's participatory budgeting, where each council member is given $1 million, which isn't like a ton of money, but that's like specialty things where like anybody in the district, no matter your age, even if you're in like second grade, you can write to the council member and say, this is what I want funded. So we allot that $1 million to different places in our district. The other thing city council works on is land use and zoning, which is a big issue in our city right now because developers come in and kind of like take over in our district that you and I live in, Britta. The big issue is Columbia University, which yes, it's a institution of higher learning, but it's also the largest holder of real estate in the entire city. And they continue to encroach into our district, displacing people. And because of the federal tax law, they don't have to pay certain property taxes in our city. So while they're displacing families and small businesses, they're not contributing to the community. So part of zoning is we need a council member in our district who's going to go toe-to-toe with institutions like that and make sure that we're putting in legislation that will make them pay into sanitation, schools, housing. If they're building, they're also providing affordable housing and low-income housing and protecting the people who live here and not displacing people, because that is what? Gentrification.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the city council also can pass legislation on a variety of issues. The big thing that just passed was open streets, where we're now able to have an open streets model in New York, so the restaurants can remain outside the way they are. And with open streets, we'll be able to then further legislate to have expanded and protected bus lanes, expanded and protected bike lanes, pedestrian walkways. One of the plans I want to do is make Amsterdam Avenue just for buses. You know, let's get away from car culture, protect our environment, protect our streets, and set up a city that is conducive for buses, bikes, and pedestrians.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, pretty much you're the neighborhood superhero and you the head bitch in charge, and you're listening to people who have, you know, issues with what's going on, and they come to you directly, right?
Yeah.
For the most part? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever think from doing our shows at Hardware together that we'd be talking about this?
No, I had no idea. You would always have like the best poop jokes in town. And
like, can you imagine, like, us just be, like, sitting in the basement of Hardware, kikiing with Jasmine and Rose and Jan. And now it's like us being like, and discretionary budgeting.
No, but you're so good at it. And you're teaching so many people within our community, like the true tea of how it works. I mean, I had no idea what a city council member is. And I'm sure that the listeners listening had no idea. I mean, I know that I got like things in the mail of people telling me to vote for so-and-so, but I had no idea what they stand for or what their job was. If they had a nice little postcard.
So many people don't know what the city council does, which is why I also encourage people. I know that people are always like, oh, I'm voting in Kentucky or Kansas or wherever you're from, but it's so important to vote where you live, because like I mentioned, New York has an operating budget that's larger than most states, you know? So we always
talk about
policing and the police budget in New York that is almost $11 billion. It's larger than some countries' military budgets. So when we talk about policing and we're taking to the streets demanding justice, you should vote where you live so we can actually enact that in our city. Vote where you live so we can make sure that we're, you know, people complain about the trash piling up. Well, that's a city issue. So vote where you live to get it taken care of. Your landlord's a dick and is taking advantage of you. Vote where you live so we can pass legislation to hold that landlord accountable so you're able to keep your home and your apartment at an affordable rate that you can stay in, you know?
Live, yeah.
And statistically, voting in swing states when you live somewhere else doesn't flip the state. So I encourage people to register where you live so we don't become a swing state, you know, so that we can continue to push progressive values where we live.
Yeah, absolutely. It's why local elections are the most important.
The most important.
And it's a big reason why I decided to do this podcast is because we had the presidential election. Great. Wonderful. But truly, everything starts from the bottom. Now we're here. Starts from the bottom. And that's local elections. Now, how do people vote in a local election? Is it the same every single place? Is it different in certain cities?
Every city is different. So look at where you live. You can just do a quick Google search, like, am I registered to vote? If you live in New York City, it's vote.nyc. And that will, you can get your voter registration form or your absentee ballot. If you're not registered to vote in New York City, you have until May 28th to register. And you don't need a New York ID to register either. And early voting is June 12th and the election is June 22nd. So your polling place might be different for early voting than on election day. And you can just do a quick Google search. Everything is right there on the handy dandy little interwebs. You just go on your little Chrome or Safari or Google or Yahoo, whatever you use, and just type in. It's all very accessible for whatever town you live in. We have these handy dandy little computers at our fingertips. Look it up, kids.
Yeah, look it up. I mean, it's so easy. And, you know, by the time that this episode comes out, you will have either won or you'll lost your primary. You're going to win.
Stay tuned.
you're going to, I mean, you've been working so hard and I've been seeing you on the street and talking to people and you have such an amazing team that's working for you. So win or lose, what is the takeaway from this that you can share with voters about getting involved in politics and government?
Well, I'll tell you, this is totally off topic, but the takeaway is self-care, because I see my tomato plants are dying in my windowsill. I have neglected to water my tomato plants in this election. Look at them. They're just wilting away. Self-care. The takeaway of this is politics is tricky. And the one thing I've learned, or one of the things I've learned, is not everybody is going to agree with everything I have to say or like me. And that's okay. So self-care has been a huge part of this process and understanding that, like, it's okay if not everybody likes you, you know, but you have to remember when you're getting involved in politics, this is for all the young kids listening. When you get involved in politics, you should get involved not because you want accolades or applause or, you know, something to put on your resume, but you should do it because you want to be of service to your neighbors and your community. And remember that that is the overriding goal. Be of service to others. There's a lot going on in our country and our world, and we need people who are willing to step up and do the work and do the work when the camera's not there. You know, like, that's not what it's about. Go out and just do the work and be of service to your neighbors. Talk to your neighbors about what they need. Talk to people in your community about the services being provided by wherever you live, you know? And that's why when we talked about earlier, like, if there's things not happening, like, you know, talk to a local restaurant and see if they can provide 20 free lunches that you can give out to neighbors in need, you know, your unhoused neighbors. Talk to your friends and see who's cleaning out their closets and getting rid of clothing and distribute that to local shelters, you know, because that's what it's about. It's about being of service to others. And I really think drag taught me that, you know, like, drag really taught me about community building and community organizing. And it might not be a traditional path to politics, but it's one that I'm, like, so deeply proud of, because just, like, the coalition building that happens within drag has taught me so much. And if you can deal with crazy ass drag queens, you can deal with politicians.
Absolutely. Girl, you got that right, honey. So let's say you get elected. If people are having an issue within their community, what they do is that they reach out to their, essentially their local elected officials, correct?
Yeah, reach out to their office, you know, ask for a meeting one-on-one with the elected, you know, especially in a city council or town council scenario. They are the local representative. So they should meet with you if you request a meeting, you know? Like, the district that we live in, Britta, has around 179,000 people living there. So that's a lot of people if they want to, like, meet one-on-one. But also at the end of the day, like, that's our job.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to meet, like, you show up and you meet them. So I encourage people, you know, to, you know, if there's something going down, reach out and get a meeting with your local elected.
Marty, I love you so much. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You're looking out for us. You're looking out for our community. You're looking out for our city. For those of you that don't know, Marty is also a national co-chair of Drag Out the Vote with me. So they have been doing the work forever, for such a long time. And you inspire me in so many ways. So, and listen, if I have an issue, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you right up.
Call me. Well, thank you so much, Britta. I love you, and I'm so proud of all you're doing to educate people about the importance of local politics and getting involved. I love Drag Out the Vote. So if you are listening, become a drag ambassador with us and get involved on the local level wherever you live, because your voice matters, and don't ever let anybody tell you that your voice is not important in politics, because it is, and it is needed.
And where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the internet at Marty G. Cummings. I'm a big tweeter and Instagrammer, and I'm not a great TikToker, but I have one.
Great, 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 great. Well, thank you so much, Marty. I appreciate it. And I'll see you. We're going to have lunch soon.
Please.
Huge thank you to our guest, Marty Gold Cummings. Wow, and Drag Out the Vote. I end this episode to let everyone know that we need to look out for each other. If you see something unjust happening, baby, step in. We have to look out for each other. Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. Stop Asian hate. And lastly, make sure you make your voices heard, because it does matter. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to You Britta Vote podcast on your favorite podcast platform, and listen to all of the podcasts that are a part of the WOW Podcast Network. Till next time, remember, I'm a vote, so you Britta vote. Hey! Britta vote, now vote. Vote, now pose, now serve it at the polls. Work, serve, vote at the polls. Girl, you finished with your battle? Come on, sis, let's turn.
turn these in.
Wait, where's my sticker?
I got a free pin, though. You Britophobe.